A frequent complaint of people who fly out of smaller airports, as in the only kinds of airports we have here in our part of the country, is the high cost of tickets because of the low supply of flights. But at least there are some choices at most of our airports. Pretty soon there will be none at Crater Lake Klamath Regional Airport in Klamath Falls. You can count four daily flights total at this point, one to and one from San Francisco, and flights to and from Portland. But SkyWest, flying to Klamath Falls as United Express, announced the cancellation of those flights in early June. So now what happens? Well, to answer questions like that, we have John Longley with us, who is the Crater Lake Klamath Regional Airport Director. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Well, with one flight each to San Francisco and Portland and one from each destination in, it's not a very busy airport now. And in fact, the last flight's gone at like by 5:30 in the morning, isn't it?
Yes.
Out.
Both the flights are in that 5:30 time frame.
So is this very much of a surprise, I'm thinking? Probably not?
Yeah, I think the timing's really a surprise. It sort of happens precipitously now. It used to be just a few years ago, there was an essential air service program, but Congress dropped it. So what happened now is at the beginning of April, I got an email saying, could we talk to you tomorrow morning? So I said, sure, and I had a phone call with the systems manager for SkyWest, and he just sort of indicated that they were dropping both flights in 60 days. What was really surprising about it for us was that we were able to obtain the only small community air service development program grant in California or in Oregon for the purpose of developing a marketing program to implement to improve the air service. And there had been a lot of effort on it. It was going to be about a $200,000 program overall. And actually, SkyWest signed up as sort of a partner in that, and then we got the surprise news.
How long ago did SkyWest sign up as a partner?
It would have been back probably December time frame, December, January.
But just basically 4 months before they said,
yeah,
hey, you know, can we talk to you?
Wow. Not very far. It may have been November because the grant, we got the grant, and it took a while to get it sort of processed. But it was very recently. And we thought we were right on the margin here, and so we thought we really had a chance to build our way out of it with a marketing program, and it was canceled. Like the week the market air service will stop, the week the marketing program was supposed to really start being effective.
Ouch, that smarts. This, as you pointed out, though, the whole process is very different from what it used to be. It seems like back in transportation history, it took months of hearings and petitions and the Interstate Commerce Commission, when that still existed, for railroads and all sorts of levels of government to go through for airlines as well. But as you pointed out, it's with the essential air service thing dropping, it's pretty much up to the airline.
Yeah, it's completely up to the airline. It wasn't even necessarily a written notice. In the beginning, I asked them if they'd send a written notice, and they indicated they wouldn't. And then Linda Tepper, the business manager, reminded them they might want to cancel their facilities. So we did get a short one- or two-sentence thing, but it's pretty informal these days.
It's almost like breaking up with a boyfriend by text message.
Yeah, it's not even a spouse. It's sort of breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Wow. John Longley, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Crater Lake Klamath Regional Airport Director. We're talking about flights departing from Klamath Falls. Last day is June 5th, is that right?
Last flight out is on the 4th.
On the 4th, okay. So June 5th will be the first day without flights in Klamath Falls.
Yes, sir.
What is the recent history then, John Longley? I mean, how many flights did Klamath Falls have in its heyday? There was United Express and I think Alaska as Horizon at one point too, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was some overlap there, but I think Horizon was leaving when United Express came in. That was a few years ago. Back in the old days, they had quite a few, but that was a number of years ago. I've been here about 4 years, and when I first arrived, there were two in each direction. And then they had actually announced that they dropped one of the Portland flights, and we worked mightily to get that back because that was important for business, and never could get it back. And then a year or two ago, they dropped the second San Francisco flight, and they were down to two. We were doing maybe 10,000, 11,000, 12,000 enplanements per year. which is right on the sort of the edge of a funding program. Big deal with us is with 10,000 employments, you get through the Airport Improvement Program, the AIP program, $1 million a year for the development of the airport. And when you drop below that, it's $150,000. So,
big difference in the amount of money for airport improvement.
Absolutely.
So when you say 10 or 11,000 employments, does that count the passengers in both directions, just the ones getting on to leave?
It's employments, only the ones leaving.
Okay, got it. So, but 10,000, 11,000, I mean, it's not an insignificant figure, but what are those 10 or 11,000 supposed to do, and what has that count done? I mean, you mentioned that there were at one time more flights, so I have to assume that number was higher at one time.
Yeah, it did. Back probably 5 years ago, we were doing 20,000, 5 or 6 years ago, and then they just progressively started dropping the flights. And we have a thing that's called load factor. It's a technical sort of term, but it's not too complicated. It's the number of passengers versus the number of seats. And where they want to get now is they want to fill about 70% of the seats or more, 70 to 80, 70 sort of being minimum. And our load factors during some months were that high, and some months they were down in the high 50s, 58, 59, or low 60s. So we thought things were sort of marginal, but potentially could work, especially with the marketing program. But we didn't get a chance to do it.
Well, that's interesting then. The fact is that you certainly could have more customers leaving Klamath Falls on planes if there were more flight times. I mean, obviously 5 and 5:30 for the flights to the two destinations, and you're done with departing flights for the day. But the issue is for the airlines, okay, but we have to have so many more empty seats leaving as well.
Yes, and that's exactly it. It used to be our load factor grew more than anybody. We did a lot of sort of statistical kind of review of this, technical review, and our load factor grew faster than anybody we evaluated in the Northwest. So, but the way that they improved the load factor was basically to reduce the number of flights. And when they reduced the number of flights, the load factor pretty much accelerated. The problem was that when you only have two flights out in the morning, if you lose a flight, you run into an issue of folks being stranded. And the same is true of two flights in at night. There's no redundancy in the system, and systems that don't have redundancy are usually have problems. And I think that's what was sort of happening, was the dependability issue.
Oh, so people would be less likely to take a flight if they were thinking, well, I can take the next one to Klamath Falls when there is no next one to Klamath Falls today.
Yeah, exactly. Or they get here at 5:30 in the morning, and once or twice a month there was a cancellation, and what do you do? Only thing you can do, if you're a seasoned traveler, didn't bother me because I'm fairly seasoned out of Klamath, is you jump in a car and you go to Medford, or in some cases I drive to PDX. And if you have to do that on rare occasion, maybe it's okay. But if you don't have the options, if you don't sort of understand the system and you don't have the options at hand, it can be horrendously frustrating. And it can be very frustrating on the other end when you're in either PDX or San Francisco, either in Portland or San Francisco, there isn't a flight in at night. Well, what do you do? About the only thing you can do is rent a car and come here. But if you're not prepared for that, it can, I think, get fairly frustrating.
John Longley, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Crater Lake Klamath Regional Airport Director. We're talking about the cessation of air service to and from San Francisco and Portland effective June 5th. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. You talked about the option of jumping in a car and going to either Medford or PDX. I'm going to guess you have some market research already heading up to this intended campaign to boost air service that indicates how many people do actually leave the Klamath Basin by ground transportation to get to an airport elsewhere.
Yeah, you know, the perception is a fair number. But when we did the statistical, we did a demand survey probably 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And at that time, it was maybe 20% of the potential seats within the encatchment area actually left. But the perception is always that it may be somewhat more than what the technical analysis told us.
And did the survey get into where people go? I'm curious to know if they just drive to Medford, if they drive to Sacramento, to Portland, whatever.
Yeah, it was mainly compared against Medford.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that the folks in Reading are in a rather similar situation. It also has United Express, but three flights a day instead of two. They did do this thing a while back where they did some advanced ticket buys, where they basically got some promises where people would be buying tickets down the road to convince United Express to stay in Reading. Was any of that considered for Klamath Falls?
Yeah, in fact, I think something like that was done a number of years ago before I came. It wasn't viewed, it wasn't warmly embraced, so we did not pursue it. On this, we thought the marketing was a better approach.
John, were there other maneuvers or attempts to sweeten the pot for SkyWest to convince them to stick around?
I called them. Actually, some of the larger businesses in town call me, and I called them and asked, well, what would happen if we could provide some support just a few days after? And SkyWest told me not a possibility. We had three Embraers that were on lease, and they're being returned, so we don't have any options.
And how many seats are those?
30.
30, okay, so 30 seats. So basically 60 seats leaving Klamath Falls every day.
Yes.
In two directions, 30 yeah. north, 30 south.
Right.
Klamath Falls, in just an airport rank, I think your information indicates it's like the 300th largest airport or somewhere just south of that?
Yeah, I don't recall that number specifically. We were sort of in the lower half, but we were higher in the northwest than you would suspect. I can't pull the number off the top of my head, but it's, as I recall, it was maybe 41 out of 60, something in that approximation. So we weren't right at the bottom at the number of employments we had, which The other airport that they removed all the flights from in the same day was not in the northwest. It was down in California, and it was Modesto.
Modesto, okay. So Modesto losing air service pretty much the same day. So which begs the question then, I mean, is this something that is likely to happen, has been happening at airports of similar size around the country?
Yes.
Is it more about SkyWest? It is about the airline size itself, the airport size itself?
Yeah, I think it's a series of things. It is the aircraft, the Embraer 120s. They're excellent aircraft, but, you know, they're growing older. It was about, I think, we existed as a bridge, and that is we were the sort of midpoint between San Francisco and Portland, so they could shuttle aircraft here and then shuttle them up north and then back down south for maintenance activity. So that was a great strength. That's one of the reasons I think we kept air service as long as we did, but in the end, when the bridge didn't work, the service didn't work. So that was the second part. Third part was that we were performing marginally, I think. I think we were redeemable, but we weren't economically exciting, my estimation is. And then the other thing, which is affecting the entire, there are two parts for air service. Let me just say this always gets very technical again. But we have Part 121 and Part 135 scheduled. And Part 121 is sort of the traditional normal airlines, and that's what SkyWest was operating out of here under.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently they've picked up a whole series of new rules, especially for pilots. And there's sort of two sets of them. You have to have, co-pilot seat, you have to have somebody with 1,500 hours now. And that wasn't the case before, which is sort of reduced the market of available pilots. The second thing is that they changed rules in terms of shift scheduling, rest periods, length of shifts, and things like that. And that had a profound impact in terms of cost factors.
So if that scheduling, if those rules had not changed, you might still have air service.
Yeah, potentially. But I think there were a whole, like I say, I think there were a whole series of factors. The other factor was San Francisco at this point, my understanding, is doing construction on two runways. So gate access is of great importance. I want to make sure that they get as much utilization out of gates as possible. So I think that had a profound impact, too. So it wasn't one thing or two things. It was maybe three or four things, that probably, was the problem, or were the problems that we had.
And somebody has a Droid phone, I can hear. So what happens now, John? I mean, is there must be an effort, I'm thinking, to go after another airline to come in, but it seems like the list is not particularly long.
No, it isn't. I think it's going to be very difficult. Can't say never, but I think it's going to be very difficult to get a 121 traditional kind of airline back, even though it may be a commuter. So sort of the action appears to be in this 135, what they call Part 135, commuter type of situation. They're commuters also. The limitation with them is that they can only operate with 9 seats at this point in time. So Seaport is, I think, the most likely prospect for us. We've actually talked with them. There are some important factors there, and the factor would be a potential future bridge, too. Also, the other critical factor, they say, is that they fly Caravans, Cessna 208s, and 9 passengers, and they say they're just having great difficulty finding aircraft.
All right, so for the moment, it appears that Klamath Falls will in fact see air service end with the last flights out on June 4th, nothing starting June 5th, and then an effort to bring somebody back in to take the place of SkyWest. John Longley is the Crater Lake Klamath Regional Airport Director. John, thanks for joining us. Sorry to hear about this, and thanks for being so honest with us.
Oh, thank you.
All right, take care. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We will talk to a lawyer with a long history on Wall Street in hour number 2. His book is The Death of Money. That's coming up as we resume the Jefferson Exchange after the top of the hour.